How do we get from the World Cup record goal scorer to the most infamous football of all time?
Hello and welcome to Wikipedia Wanderers. It's the World Cup, ladies and gentlemen. It's the World Cup. Are you excited, Josh, for a Winter Wonderland World Cup?
Yes, I am. I've been completing the Panini sticker book. Got about 20-30 left.
Are you on WeeSwapsies.com or whatever it is?
WeeSwapsies, the Scottish version.
Yeah.
So I went out and bought a big bulk box, like 100 stickers, 100 packs.
Yeah.
And then further 50 packs. And so I created a kind of bank of swaps. And then I've been sending posts to people and collecting the letters. And yeah, about 20-30 short. Probably just end up buying them individually just to tick it off.
Who's the biggest player you're missing?
For a while it was Messi. Messi was really, yeah, was out there. I think, well, I've got a couple of Neymars. Neymar was actually quite easy to get. Also, in this one, they've done a Legends bit. I'm not quite sure why.
More money.
Money.
That's why. Yeah.
But they have, like, there's like, I don't know, a list of like 30 Legends that, you know, might get. There's no of them in the book. It goes, ooh, choose what you want us to do with these stickers. I'm like, probably fucking lose them, won't I? Because they're not been stuck in anywhere. Probably accidentally swap them.
Yeah, right. Okay.
How are you gearing up for World Cup?
How am I gearing up for it? Just
ball chart?
Chilling out, mate. Just yeah, just chilling. I don't know. I'm struggling.
Conflicted.
I am conflicted by it because I don't think it should be there for numerous reasons.
Oh, 100%, 100%, yeah.
And two, it doesn't feel right in the winter. And I know football is a global game and I have no issues with it being, because isn't it like something like 45% of the leagues are actually having their summer break now because their leagues finish because of when winter happens in those, like Sweden, for example, has a summer league that breaks over Christmas. And it's, so I understand that, but I just, yeah, it just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like the World Cup. It feels like the World Cup is interfering with the run up to Christmas. So
no, I agree. It'd be interesting to see how we feel about it all, when all said and done, really. And at the moment, it'll take hold. It's just kind of like a the analogy I thought was big cheese rolling down the hill. And so it's just going to gather momentum, and it's going to be, we'll be in the throes of World Cup, won't we? It'll be a bit weird because it'll be cold, it'll be rainy, but it'll just be, you know, games will happen and we'll be watching them, and yeah, it'll be interesting to see what kind of, how the fans are over there, who's going over there, how packed the stadiums will be. There'll be different talking points. There's always different technology used or the standard of refereeing, and things will happen, and you know, previously, it's been the end of a long season for players, and you know, they feel like they're just really drained. Probably, maybe less so now. I don't know, but
well,
it depends how their game time's been managed. They should be coming in kind of a bit less fatigued, but have we just crammed more games in and they'll be equally fatigued? I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, I was going to comment on that because I feel like it's a situation where everyone was sort of like, well, Winter World Cup, all the players are going to be fit and at their peak because it's the middle of the season, and now actually, what you've got is at the last weekend of the Premier League before the World Cup starts is, oh my god, Madison's injured. Oh, he's gone off. He's been subbed. Oh my god, Mane's not going to go. Oh my word, they've picked Mane and he's, Bayern aren't happy. And it's like, oh, now it's just a whole nother thing to think about.
Yeah, as if a relationship between club and country wasn't delicate enough.
Yeah.
They chuck this in, yeah.
Exactly. So, so I'm struggling right now. I think you're right. I think once it kicks off, I'll just be well into it. And I'll be watching if I'm up, I'll know there's a game on, I'm watching it, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just doesn't feel like the World Cup.
I don't think I'm going to look back and think, oh, do you remember that Qatar World Cup? How great was that? The problem will be, I'm so conflicted, that if England win it, and I'd be like, oh God, that's the one I didn't want them to win. That's the one which is would start off with a bit of taste in the mouth. Now I've got to be like, yeah, it was great, wasn't it? Because England won it.
Well, I'll save you that trouble because we're not going to win it. So,
hey, I think we are.
Do you actually think, you honestly,
I think
we're
we stand
win it?
A fantastic chance of winning this. 100% we do, yeah.
I just can't see
when
it.
When you've got Harry Kane, you've always got a chance.
Well, what have Spurs won?
Got a better side around him.
Yeah, but they've got Harry Kane, so they've always got a chance, right? But they haven't won anything.
Yeah. No, I didn't say, yeah. When you've got a chance, it means you can actually fail. There's a chance, and we're just not taking it ever.
Yeah, well, that's more
the
damning.
Problem with actually, the problem with Harry Kane is he started every single match for us this season.
Yeah.
So in terms of those that fatigue, Harry Kane's going to be up there.
Yeah, because normally he's had an ankle injury by now, hasn't he, that's kept him out of a few games.
Yeah. So. Oh, yeah, it's not normally we've had anyone to replace him with. I mean, the person we did buy money for, he got injured.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's a good segue from one goal scorer, England's goal scorer in Harry Kane. We're actually going to start in this World Cup opening episode, because it's going to be a little mini series again around the World Cup. We're starting. My player is one of my favourite players who I loved, the World Cup record goal scorer, Miroslav Klose. Name me three clubs that he's played for. Floor four.
Bayern.
Right.
I'm not even sure about that one, actually, when I said it. Correct. Lazio.
Correct.
I remember.
Yeah.
And Kaiserslautern?
Oh, he's nailed it. I mean, that's not the one I would have gone for, but yeah, Kaiserslautern. I mean, maybe asking for three was a bit tough, because he's only actually played for five. So, but yeah, you got it.
Let's have a look.
Started his career as a youth career, 1987 to 1998. So he was in a youth team for 11 years.
What youth team was he in?
SG Blaubeck Dodekopf. I think I've nailed that.
I think amazingly you might have. I just noticed Dave was really skirting around about the name of a club. Yeah, he started youth football at this age, and I saw the name, I was like, there's a reason why.
Yeah, so SG, I'm not going to repeat it actually, because I've nailed it once. He then got a senior club, FC 08 Homburg 2, so the reserve team for them, and in the same season got promoted to their first team. 15 appearances, 10 goals in the reserve team, 18 appearances, one goal in the first team. That got him a move to Kaiserslautern reserves, where he scored 26 goals in 50. They gave him a chance in the first team at Kaiserslautern, 44 in 120. He then moved to Werder Bremen, and he sort of, I think this is where he found his stride, right, and sort of became the goal scorer in senior football. 53 goals in 89 appearances. A big move to Bayern Munich, 24 goals in 98. Lazio, 54 in 139. Giving him 212 in 529 games, which isn't massively prolific. I mean, it's still good. It's not massively prolific. And then Germany, a 13-year career for the German national team. 71 goals in 137 games. What do you remember of Miroslav Klose?
That Saudi Arabia game.
Okay.
Where he bagged a hat trick and it was like 7-1?
Yeah.
7-0?
7-0, I think.
Which makes me, like, I mean, I'm thinking about his goal scoring record in the World Cup and thinking, was he helped out? The criticism labelled always against like Harry Kane or any England striker who thought, oh yeah, we don't score against the best sides. But you know, he scored a lot of goals for Germany overall. But yeah, that's my. And a header. Headed goals is what I remember him for.
Celebration.
Celebration.
You remember his celebration? He literally just did a forward flip. It was the worst. Can you remember that? He just did a...
Now you've said it, but I mean, now you're saying the worst. I mean, I can't do a forward flip.
Well, it's not really a flip. Well, I guess it is a flip. Yeah, okay. It's not the worst flip in the world. I think I still hold that record for when I dislocated my shoulder doing one after hockey. But, well, that was even a roly-poly. That wasn't even a flip.
Flip.
Yeah. But, loved his celebration. Loved his ability to just score goals. That's why I only watched him play for Germany. That's the only time I really saw
him.
In
and around a box, isn't it?
Like, yeah.
If you looked at his goals, I imagine 99% of them are inside the box.
Oh, yeah. He
and
would have had...
like 70-80% of them got to be within like 12 yards.
Yeah. And I think I was just going to say, like, if he was in Football Manager now, he would have like 5-star playing ability as a target man, 5-star playing ability as a poacher, and then like 2-star for all the other striker roles. Because... that's just the sort of player he was. But it was some interesting things reading about his family and stuff and his sporting heritage. His mum played for the Polish women's national handball team. So that's pretty epic in terms of sporting pedigree as well. He developed all of his footballing skills and passion with the local club Blaubeck Dodekopf, which at the time was in the West German 7th Division, whilst also being an apprentice carpenter. He doesn't strike me as someone that was into carpentry.
No.
So, But yeah, I mean, it's good. He gave up his Polish citizenship at age 18 and kept his German passport. He's a Roman Catholic, practicing Roman Catholic. But yeah, he's moved around. He's had some big, relatively big fees. I mean, Werder Bremen bought him for 5 million euros, $6.2 million, off Kaiserslautern. Bayern Munich was then bought him for, it was here somewhere. Oh no, it doesn't say it. Yeah, they reached an agreement. Karlsruhe Rumminger reached an agreement with Werder Bremen regarding, that sounds dodgy, doesn't it? Regarding the transfer of Klose, signed a 4-year contract, moved to Lazio, scored goals for Lazio. Yeah, it's just goals, really. And then obviously the meat and veg of his career is, for Germany, obviously winning quite a lot and scoring lots of goals in World Cup finals.
Would you say he's more well known for his international career then? He's one of those players, is he?
Oh, I think so, yeah. I think he's known. Well, I guess there's probably Werder Bremen, Lazio, and Bayern fans that will remember him playing, but.
Yeah, I remember thinking the Lazio move was a bit rogue. I remember thinking. There's a man who spent, what is it, 2010? He was there, so he'd been 32 and he's been in Germany all that time, and then age 32 going, you know what? Going to Lazio. It struck me as a bit odd, but he did
all right. Yeah, and in the World Cup final in 2014, after he retired, he played the World Cup final up until the 88th minute against Argentina, and got substituted off for eventual goal scoring winner Mario Götze. So he kept Götze fresh on the bench to come on and score the winner. So
he's won the World Cup twice, has he?
He's won it in 2010 and 2014, right? No, they didn't win it back to back.
No, he won in 2014, runner-up in 2002, and third place 2010, 20, and 2006. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously won a couple of golden boots. One golden boot, one silver shoe at the World Cup. So silver shoe 2002, golden shoe 2006, in the All-Star teams 2002 and 2006 as well. So, yeah, quite a stellar career. Two Bundesligas, two DFB Polka is what I want to say, but that's the dance. Pokal? That'll do. The Super Cup, the Liga Pokal, and the Champions League runner-up. Never won the Champions League.
Yeah, Coppa Italia. Not got any European memorabilia there.
No, exactly. Mm-hmm. But, one World Cup win, one runner-up, two third-place finishes. He didn't make Pelé's list of best 100 living footballers.
It's not in FIFA 100. No. Ooh, that's embarrassing. Everybody else is.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. So that's where we're starting, Josh. Where have we got to get to?
Do you think I was right in saying the most infamous ball in football? Can you think of another contentious football?
Well, the Adidas Team Geist, I know I go on about it a lot, but the Adidas Team Geist was the first ball that didn't use traditional hexagonal bits. Yeah, and it used the new curvy shaped ones, which eventually carried on into the Jambulani, but I think the Jambulani got more stick.
Yeah, so this is the Adidas Jambulani, which I'm sure all aware was used in the 2010 World Cup in South Africa. Jabula, meaning to be happy in Zulu, is where it comes from. And I just remember this ball because everybody complained it wobbled.
Yeah, it loved
didn't,
it.
Everybody, no, the goalkeepers complained because they didn't know where it was going. We've got quotes on here from Brazil goalkeeper Julio Cesar compared it to a supermarket ball. Complaints from Claudio Bravo and Iker Casillas. It is a very sad competition, so important as a world championship, but we played with such a horrible ball. Gigi Buffon says the new model is absolutely inadequate, and I think it's shameful letting play such an important competition with lots of people taking part of a ball like this. Even like forwards said that bad things about Luis Fabiano, said it was supernatural. Rubinho saying, for sure, the guy who designed this ball would never play football, but there's nothing we can do, we have to play with it. Joe Hart, and I'm not sure if this is just normal for him, said, been training for a number of days, the ball's been doing anything but staying in my gloves. I'm like, alright. Not that people complained, do they? David James said the ball is dreadful, horrible, but horrible for everybody. And so there's lots of all that. And a friend of a podcast, Craig Johnston, the designer who helped design the Adidas Predator, wrote an open page letter to FIFA president Sepp Blatter you know, outlining the failings of the ball, and people were questioning why it is. And as Dave said, it's used in spherical panels rather than the hexagonal one previously. But it fits with all of the manufacturing technical specifications. And I love this. The Adidas response from Adidas. A number of Adidas sponsored players responded favourably to the ball. Who'd have thought it? Alvaro Arbeloa commented, "It's round like always."
cheers, Arbeloa. Lovely.
Kaka, "For me, contact with the ball is all important, and that's just great with this ball." Frank Lampard said, it's a very strong ball, true to hit." And Ballack said, "Fantastic, the ball does exactly what I want it to do." Wow.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay.
There was a NASA study produced on the ball in terms of its unpredictability and the knuckleball effect.
Yep.
Which is kind of not... It's kind of dying off a little bit, the use of a knuckleball. It was definitely kind of 5 years ago, we were talking a lot of knuckleball, but yeah, not so much used nowadays. David Luiz is a big exponent of it.
I would say
Ronaldo was for a while.
Longer than 5 years ago. I think peak was...
I reckon.
Yeah, maybe like 8, 9, getting into...
Oh my goodness.
10 years ago.
Getting
like,
into 12 years ago.
Well, Ronaldo at Portsmouth free kick, that was a knuckleball hit. There was... This World Cup, there was a lot of knuckleballs because of what the ball did. I think maybe because the ball's been changed, it's not as effective.
Yeah. But, I mean, I thought it looked quite nice. That's mainly why a ball, because I don't play football much. It looks nice.
Yeah.
I've been buying the footballs for the World Cup. So I bought one from 2018, and, I mean... saying quietly, but for my my son's upcoming birthday, I bought him the new World Cup ball, size 4 though, to make it a little bit smaller, just to play in the garden with. But yeah, just a little bit of memento.
Nice. You'll have to tell us what it's like. Do a knuckleball at him. See how it flies.
So he's in hospital.
Yeah. But the ball was round, like it always is. So yeah.
I was trying to aim there. So 2010 World Cup is clearly the desired end to this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it'll be mentioned on the page. Adidas could also be mentioned. It was used in the Super Cup. It was used in Europa League. It was used in 2010-11 Bundesliga and Primera Liga. So their options, because obviously we could get very, very easily into the 2010 World Cup at this point.
I'm intrigued on the bottom of the page. Well, just above references, so technically we can use it, right? Anything above references we could use. I know we've got to end here. But it says, see also Adidas Tango 12. That's very specific. What is the Adidas Tango 12? I assume another ball.
Because this ball was used, it was developed into the Adidas Tango 12 series of footballs.
Ah, okay, right. Got ya. What do you remember about the 2010 World Cup? What's your... Can you remember? Oh, no, I'm going to quickly test you, actually. Things that I can remember. Which nation won it? That's an easy start.
Is it an easy start? Brazil?
Right, yeah.
Was it Brazil? Yeah.
I think it was Brazil.
Is that right?
Yeah. No, it was Spain-Holland. Howard Webb was the referee. And it was the fly kick from De Jong into...
Nigel De Jong.
Xabi Alonso. So, no, you're wrong. Brazil didn't win it. Top goal scorer.
I'm so bad at stuff like this. So bad.
Top goal scorer. God. That's easy.
Fernando Torres.
No, Diego Forlan.
Did you say that was easy?
Yeah, because he was the Bond that always made it wiggle through the air.
I remember having a big old loopy effort, actually.
Yeah. So Diego Forlan won Golden Boot. Where did England finish in their group?
I don't even remember who England had in their group. 2010, would I have been...
Okay, hang on.
Was this Algeria, USA...
Slovenia, yeah.
Slovenia, yeah. One I watched with a friend of the pod, Mike Phelan.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, nice. Where did we finish in that group?
We didn't get out of that group, did we?
We got out of the group. We got out of the group. Second. To the USA.
So then who did we play in the knockouts?
Good question, I'll tell you. We played Germany, the Frank Lampard goal.
Oh,
I watched that with Kelv. I was in London watching that, yeah.
Oh, then Mesut Ozil and Gareth Barry.
Yeah, made Gareth Barry look like a slug. Yeah. And it was also the infamous...
slug.
It was the infamous Wayne Rooney nice to hear your home fans booing you when we were playing in South Africa when we drew 0-0 with Algeria. Yeah. And he looked at the camera and he said, it's nice to hear your home fans booing you. So,
what I do remember of it is the opening goal. And we dance.
Tashawalabalala.
Shabalala.
Shabalala. Shabalala. Shabalala. Ooh. If it was English, yeah, that would have been the chant.
Was it Shakira's song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Waka Waka. This time for Africa.
Yeah. I remember the key bits here. I don't want winners, top goal scorers, England performance. I want the dance that they did after they scored the opening goal. Great goal, left footed shot across into the top corner.
Absolute rocket, wasn't it? Yeah. Absolute
rocket. Bluter.
Okay, so we want to get into the 2010 FIFA World Cup. Yeah. So, one, we can refresh our knowledge a bit. And two, we can get to the ball.
I hope you were going to edit all that out, actually.
No chance. Absolutely no chance. But right, Miroslav Klose, Josh. Do we want to click on the 2010 FIFA World Cup?
No.
No, okay.
Do we want to click on something which is enticing, like a club? Well, how about a rule here?
Okay. I like rules.
It's World Cup themed.
It is World Cup themed, Josh. Well done.
One of the clicks before the end needs to be World Cup related.
Anything, like a match, a whole tournament, trophy.
It can't be tenuous, like, oh, we've looked at this player, he played in the World Cup. That's a bit too tenuous. I want it to be something a bit more...
So, for example, then...
Robust.
If we went to Miroslav Klose's silver slipper award from the World Cup, does that count as the World Cup thing?
Oh yeah.
Okay,
yeah, sure.
All right,
that's the World Cup award. That's
yeah,
that's definitely linked. Yeah,
cool. All right, where do we want to go though? That doesn't help. I agree with the rule, but where do we want to go? Oh, just while we're thinking about that, Miroslav Klose broke R9's record of most goals in a World Cup in that 7-1 demolition of Brazil. Do you want to go a club? We could go to the club he's currently managing if we wanted to.
What is that?
Which is Rheindorf Altach in the Austrian Bundesliga. It's not going to help
Tell me your route then, Dave.
There, Austrian player that's played in the World Cup qualifier. That then ticks off our World Cupness. That qualifier was 2010. 2010 World Cup, Jumbalani, done.
Fine, I'm in.
Yeah, Rheindorf Altach. Altach.
Yes. Sport club Rheindorf Altach, formed in 1921, so 92, soon to be 93 years old. A Boxing Day they formed. I like to think of that as a group of men sat around
pissed
Christmas going, we should definitely do this. Their wives are in a different room. We should form a football club, alright?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's
Oi,
do
Bob,
it.
Then, how much money have you got?
Yeah. I can't even play football. Don't worry.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
Right.
Manager Miroslav Klose. Good to see it's all correct. And they play in the Austrian Bundesliga. Finished 11th last year. Okay.
Oh, how do you feel about that historical chart of league performance underneath the top right summary?
Yeah, I'm seeing it. Yeah. I'm not quite sure what the step change is, but it helps. And they seem to have just progressed. They spent half their life bumbling around, but then the second half, they've just kind of gone from strength to strength, haven't they?
They have, yeah. They seem to be doing pretty well, to be honest. That would be the 2004-2014 stint, which was reaching the Bundesliga.
Yeah, I mean, strength to strength, they into Europe from the 2014 to present, so they into Europa League. Yeah. Have you any idea a player past and present? I'm sure we're not going to, but we will just throw out a random Austrian and see if we're going to strike it lucky. I'm going to go for Alex Manninger.
Oh, nice Austrian.
Was Paul Scharner Austrian?
I think Paul
Watching.
Yeah.
Talking of demolitions, I was watching a highlight of Tottenham Wigan 9-1 yesterday. I was showing my kids, and Paul Scharner scored a goal which is amazingly allowed because it was the most obvious handball. We got the ball, he takes on the chest in theory, but the ball bounces down to the ground, and it's like, how has that not been given? So VAR would have made that 9-0. But yeah, Paul Scharner of Wigan, I've got a feeling, was Austrian.
Okay, well, you've named two, so we'll take those two. Let's have a look. I mean, there's not a notable player list, so...
No, we have managerial history. Where's the Englishman? Probably not in Austria. No, we've got Germans, Austrians, Swiss, Dutch...
Slovenian.
Slovenian, is there?
No, Serbia, that one, isn't it? That's the Serbian flag, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Polish. Yeah, okay.
We have her assistant manager is Cameroonian, I think. Louise Nguyet Mahop.
Yeah, that's Cameroon, isn't it? Yeah, with the star in the middle of the red bit in the middle. Yeah.
Just going to quickly scan down their current squad. Mainly Austrian, for Hungarians, Ghanaians, Nigerians, but no one who I immediately recognise.
No, and no one that I think could be have been in a Austrian World Cup qualifier. But we might be bailed out here, Josh. Because into Europe, the bit that you pointed out before, the paragraph mm-hmm. of into Europe, the last sentence is former Switzerland international Ludwig Magninen was appointed as the new head coach on the 30th of December 2021. That needs another line in there.
Yes,
I saw
his name in managerial history. Yeah, yeah. So, do we recognise him?
No, but it says Switzerland international, which I think will take us to the Swiss FA or the Swiss national football team.
Have we not been to Switzerland?
Oh, have we been to Switzerland?
We've been to Switzerland. Oh. Hakan Yakin, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Trying to get to Wankdorf.
We were trying to get to Wankdorf and we went to the Yakin brothers, didn't we?
You must remember that journey.
I do remember that one, yeah. Okay.
Young boys, Wankdorf, Hakan Yakin.
I mean, there's players listed, so...
Yeah, and we have, you know, clubs they've played against in Europe. We've got a few other ones, so Ghent and Maccabi Tel Aviv, Dynamo Brest, none of them are from... So we've got, like, Georgia and... I think that's Belarus and Belgium and Israel. Not great World Cup pedigree there.
No. Sorry, something that's just really caught my eye.
Mm?
They have a sponsor in their team badge.
Oh, Cashpoint. Oh,
the club
is currently
also known as Cashpoint SCR Ultra due to sponsorship of Austrian sports betting company Cashpoint.
Oh, oh
that's put me off. I was thinking about a Football Manager save potentially, but that's put me right off.
Cashpoint. Oh God. Let's get out of here, Dave.
Yeah, I agree. Let's get out of here. Any player names that you think are interesting?
I think we've got to go for a player, I'd say.
Saba Bukta from Hungary. Forward, number 11.
Hungarian, obviously, of old, have a strong World Cup pedigree. Puskás era. We've got Frenchman, Ghanaian, Ghana in this year's World Cup.
Yeah. I'm thinking either it's Saba Bukta or Nosa Iyabosa Idakopolo from Nigeria. Just purely on name basis.
We've not been to Nigeria yet. Okay.
Which one do you fancy?
I fancy the Nigerian defender Nosa Iyabosa Idakopolo, please.
All right. Off we go then, leaving Cashpoint behind. Okay. Nosa Iyabosa Idakopolo. Was born on 22nd of September 1996. He's a Nigerian professional footballer who plays as a left back. He's had a little bit of a career. He had a loan stint as a youth player at Palermo, which is interesting. FC St. Veit was his first senior club, 46 appearances, one goal. Wolfsburger AC Reserves, 27 appearances. SV Horn, 40 appearances, one goal. Blau-Weiss Linz, 52 appearances, two goals, and now plays for Cashpoint. So. Okay, he's not played for Nigeria, which is a bit of a problem.
It's a bit of a problem, yeah. And other than that, it's just clubs mentioned, really.
Yeah,
apart
it's
from,
not ideal.
I presume he's a player, Ferdinand Weenworm. But I'm thinking, I'm intrigued by Palermo. I think I like Palermo.
Yeah, big names.
They've obviously had some great players. I've got a feeling they might have a section saying... players who've played in the World Cup for our club or whilst at our club, something like that, or
could
local
do.
Players should have someone who's got some World Cup pedigree.
Well, Dybala. Probably some Italians that are there, might have won the World Cup as well, that have played for them.
Yeah, Barzagli.
Yeah, I was thinking Barzagli. Yeah. Currently in Serie B, I think, Palermo, aren't they? They got relegated.
Yeah, they had, I think he went quite low, didn't they?
Oh, okay. Well, let's find out.
Yeah. All right.
Let's find out. Just while we're in between switching pages, I know it doesn't take very long on the internet nowadays, but I just want to point out that right now you do look a little bit like Ted Lasso.
I'll take that.
Yeah, what you're wearing, the tash. Like, it's very Ted Lasso-esque, yeah.
That's giving listeners an intriguing image.
It really is, yeah.
I am growing a tash, though, he is right.
Yeah.
It is Movember.
So, oh, are you growing it out completely? Please get rid of the beard. Please get rid of the beard and just do your tash full out. From there, don't start again. Obviously, it's middle of November, but...
Yeah, maybe at the end of November, I would shave off everything and leave tash.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Do it. I'll give you... Well, I won't give you a tenner. I'll give a tenner to charity to Movember.
Okay.
Yeah, deal.
Noted.
All right. But what I will give you is probably the 40 quid I owe you, so... Or should I give that to charity? Is that...
No, I'll say that.
Yeah, okay. Palermo Football Club, simply known as Palermo FC or Palermo. Sicily, a place I've always wanted to go. Really want to go to Sicily. So, really, really want to go there. It's on my list. They've got a new badge for their new club because it was... hasn't it recently... Didn't it go extinct and then they founded it? Or is it the same, technically the same club?
A fresh start because they're now under City Football Group ownership.
Oh, bloody hell, of course they are. City Group own every bloody club.
See, they do like a bit of a pinkness in the in their clubs, don't they? I mean, there's a few others with pink in the colours, aren't there?
Is there? It's mainly light blue, isn't it? New York City FC, Melbourne City, Man City.
Yeah, maybe just that.
Yeah. La Rosanero, the pink and blacks, and La Aquila, the eagles. So, yeah. Nice. I've always liked them. I've got their kit in my. I've got an old kit of theirs in my cupboard. Again, they've got a performance league graph in their thing as well. No. Anyway, what's taken your eye as I've been?
So I'm looking down to colours and badge, and the colour choice of pink and black was suggested by Count Giuseppe Eroldi, a prominent founding member of the club. In a personal letter he wrote in 1905 to English club councillor Joseph Whittaker, he defined pink and black poetically as colours of the sad and the sweet, a choice he amusingly asserted to be suited for a team characterised by results as up and down as a Swiss clock.
We've read this before. I've read those exact words before. Have we been here?
Oh, God. Noting the fact that red and blue were very commonly used choice of colours around Italy at the time. Oh, God.
Yeah,
we made our first ever...
I think we've done our first ever duplicate.
Oh no, we have.
Yeah, as soon as you read that I was like, I've definitely read that. I've read those lines on a podcast.
What happens now?
I assume we go back and we fine ourselves.
Is that a failure?
Well, technically that's a failure, isn't it? But we normally check everything.
Oh, series 2 episode 19, we were going from 2006 Champions League final to Basil Boli, and yeah, we went to Palermo. We then clicked on Micheli. Oh, no.
Oh, and Micheli had loads of stuff with the Mafia.
Yeah?
Oh. Oh, no, Josh. Right then, listeners. So, slap on the wrist. It's not going to happen again. We're back at Nossa e Obossa Edolocolopor. I've butchered his name for the probably
it's like
fourth
a
time.
Random pronunciation generator.
Yeah.
You can ask Dave 10 times his name, and it'll be different every time.
And also... feel like it should rhyme at the end, and I'm trying to make it rhyme because it's Nossa e Obossa
Edicopolo.
Nossa.
Nossa. Okay,
yeah.
So Palermo can't go there. That is a dead end. Naughty us.
Right.
Where do we go?
So Wolfsburger AC are another big. They're a bigger team in Austria.
Spurs played against them, I think, in the Conference League.
They're a bigger team in Austria, or we just go to like. The Austria Bundesliga.
No, I'd like to. Whenever we go to leagues, I'm not that interested in leagues unless it's like really rogue.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So and we could also introduce a little rule with our faux pas that we've just done, is that you have to use the same link, like the same genre of link. So we tried to go to a club in Palermo, so we have to find another club as a punishment.
Okay. All right, Wolfsburger AC then. Wolfsburger AC, commonly referred to as Wolfsburg, or simply WAC. It's an Austrian association football club from Wolfsburg. Full name is Riegler and Zechmeister Pellitz Wolfsburg Athletic Club.
I'm not a fan of that either, because it's for sponsorship. So because
it's Riegler and Zechmeister Pellitz.
Yeah, the team is currently called RZ Pellitz WAC for sponsorship reasons.
What, Pellitz?
Little bits, aren't they? You put in shotguns.
Yeah. Is that what they actually...
don't know.
By? Nice badge, though. I like the wolf.
Yeah, it is a decent badge. But again, Josh, it's got the RZ in the corner of the badge for sponsorship reasons. Don't like it.
No.
I don't like it. I'm not a fan. But they did qualify for the Europa League in 2019-2020, which is where Spurs must have played them, right?
Yeah. So it must be an Austrian thing, then, if they're happy to put...
Yeah.
Sponsorship within badges. Playing white, even though... I mean, their badge is predominantly... There's four colours on their badge. Green, red, black and white. And white is... probably the least, one of the least dominant, and that is sort of a primary playing white,
but
and then light blue.
I would say
red and green is sponsorship.
Green and red is sponsorship. And what badge do you know that is predominantly white?
Ones that you can't see.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's probably why it's a black badge with
there's
white.
There's loads of them, Dave. You just can't see them on a white background.
Oh, okay. That's true. Yeah, that's true. Right. Random player from the past. Do we think? Are we going with the same Austrians?
Yeah, we'll go with same Austrians to see if that would.
Nope, they don't have a notable players list either. So.
Oh God.
Helpful.
But there is. I am proved correct that Tottenham played them in round 32 of the Europa League, and we fucking smashed them. Look at that.
You did.
That 8-1 on aggregate, absolute amateurs. Crikey. But we've got some decent clubs there. If we want to go to another club, we've got Mold, Feyenoord, Zagreb, CSKA Moscow, Roma. Borussia Mönchengladbach, Borussia Dortmund. So there's some decent clubs there. Any current players? Do I remember any of these names? Baumgartner. Yes, Dominic Baumgartner, I remember. Because he's also, that's the same surname as the guy who's got the highest ever free fall kind of skydive, isn't it?
It is. I was like, I swear I know that surname.
Felix Baumgartner, I think that might be.
Yeah. Do you know if any of these are internationals?
No.
We don't even need a current international. We need someone that's just played for their country in a World Cup qualifier, preferably in 2010 or 2008 when the qualifiers are happening. I mean, one of those Austrians must have played for their country.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you could peek behind it, no others allowed, you'd be able to see that someone's got some... Even like youth football would help us a little bit.
Yeah, and I'm really drawn to Konstantin Kirschbaumer.
Yeah.
What a name that is.
Yeah, I agree.
Current manager, Robin Dutt. Assistant manager, Oliver Barth. Sports coordinators, clickable, Roman Starry. And managers, no rogue Englishman again. Although current manager is Ferdinand Fieldhofer, which again is a great name.
Isn't it? Should we go Konstantin Kirschbaumer? If we've got nowhere else, that's the end of the page and we're kind of looking for a player.
Yeah, we are scrabbling around in this one, aren't we?
Okay, Konstantin Kirschbaumer is an Austrian professional football player for Austrian club Wolfsburg, a central midfielder. Oh, okay. He came to prominence in his homeland with St. Pölten and won international caps for Austria between under 16 and under 19 levels. So, okay. So he's not got full international appearances, but he's got some youth appearances.
Just
not sure how helpful that is.
Just quickly, top right summary. Anything immediately jump to your eye there? Like the 3-year stint at Brentford?
I'd seen something earlier with Dean Smith being mentioned. I looked to the right, I couldn't see it quickly. But yeah, 3-year stint at Brentford.
His second most appearances for a club is Brentford. After he's played one less game for Brentford than he did St. Pölten. 53 for St. Pölten, 52 for Brentford.
He got more chances because Josh McEachran was injured. He was the first Austrian to play for Brentford. International career. So he won 20 caps and scored 2 goals for Austria from under 16 to under 19 level. He's part of the under 17 team, which won the 2008 under 17 Toto Cup. Is that anything to do with the Inter Toto Cup? Or just, you know, it's...
If it doesn't say Inter in front of it, I'm not interested. Yeah. Toto Cup. Kirschbaum was described in style of play. Kirschbaum was described by Marnis Dixhuizen as a box-to-box midfielder. In June 2017, Brentford goalkeeper Daniel Bentley stated that Kirschbaum was the best finisher at the club. I mean, his goal tally doesn't really suggest that.
Yeah, in the 50 appearances for the championship, then championship side Brentford, he scored 1 goal.
Yeah, and he's a central midfielder. It's not like he's a fullback. So
box-to-box, he's afraid of the other box. Lee Carsley's mentioned. Lee Carsley...
English, isn't he?
Is he English or Irish? Oh, so Lee Carsley must have been a Brentford manager for a while.
Yeah, manager, yeah. Josh McEachran? Scottish?
Yeah. English.
English.
Yeah, we've got some very... We've got people here flirting with international football, haven't we?
Yeah, it's not ideal. Or do we go Austria under-19s and just see who do we know of?
Yeah, I think that's probably the best bet. Your latest age category, more chance of making the senior team. There's going to be something knocking about there, isn't there?
Yeah, all right.
Okay. Austria national under 19 football team. And I don't think I realised how much eagle or bird there was on the badge of the Austrian football team.
Yeah.
Head coach Martin Scherb. Do not know who you are. And I mean, we have a FIFA Under 20 World Cup record. Pretty bleak. They've made best finished fourth place in 2007 when it was in Canada. The Europeans, they've got semi finalists three times.
Yeah, this isn't going to help us.
There's not even like, oh, these players have played here before.
I don't know where to go, Josh.
Hold on. We're allowed to use the show hide, surely, functionality on the results and fixtures where you can see all the goal scorers that they played against.
Yeah, we can. That's in the page. So, yeah. Are you opening all of them?
I will have a little peek. So, when he played against Wales, Savage played. Is that going to be Robbie Savage's son?
Yes, I'd imagine so.
Oh, it's all too recent. There's nothing. It goes back to 2021. And we have a couple of Welsh scorers, a couple of Turkish scorers, Hungarian, but nothing which is really going to feel like it is super helpful.
No. Why do I recognise the name Yusuf Demir? I've got a feeling he's a wonder kid on Football Manager. That's why I recognise the name.
Look. Name in italics denotes a player who's been capped for the senior team.
You're right.
Because he's in italics.
Yeah. Do you want to go and see who Yusuf Demir is? I'm pretty sure he plays for Galatasaray, I think.
Yes, that would help us a little bit. Yusuf Demir is an Austrian professional footballer who plays as a winger for Turkish Super League club Galatasaray. That was the national team. Age 19, 5'8", nippy little winger is what I'm getting here. So Rapid Vienna, 42 appearances, 7 goals, as well as a stint in the second side. A loan to Barcelona, where he appeared 6 times in La Liga last season.
That's
odd.
That is odd.
So yeah, in July 2021, Barcelona had to sign him to me on a season-long loan from Rapid Vienna, with an option to make the move permanent for a further $10 million. But if a player reached 10 appearances, he'd be obligated to activate it. Made his competitive debut against Athletic Bilbao. It came on replacement for Martin Braithwaite, becoming Barca's youngest foreign debutant since Lionel Messi.
Yes, the next sentence is odd. He was given the number 11 shirt when Ousmane Dembele was ruled out of the season with injury. I'd imagine that is because he's still there, obviously, Dembele. So
yeah.
Wow.
That feels like financial difficulties led Barcelona to do this move. Needed some...
Yeah.
Someone who might be turned good and they could buy, but needed someone to fill a gap.
I mean, Galatasaray paid $6 million for him from Rapid Vienna.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's 19. He could have an absolute stellar career.
Yeah. He has debuted for the senior Austria national team in a 3-1 2022 FIFA World Cup qualification win over the Faroe Islands. So there is a mention of the World Cup, and we do have a link to the Austria national team. So
I'm a bit Austria'd out, if I'm honest.
Okay. What are you thinking? Faroe Islands?
No, I'm thinking maybe the 2002 FIFA World Cup qualification, although it might be a bit too broad.
And very recent. We need to go back 12 years in time.
We've chosen a 19-year-old. We went to the under-19s.
Would the 2022 FIFA World Cup qualification list what ball was used? And then you go back and then it might give you a list of Adidas balls?
Maybe.
Is it worth a risk?
I think we've got options on that page.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, I like that.
2022 FIFA World Cup qualification. Qualifying process decided which of the 31 teams would join host Qatar, who received an automatic spot for the 2022 World Cup. So 206 teams from 6 confederations entered. Qualifying was from 6th June 2019 till 14th June 2022. 865 matches, 2,424 goals, almost 3 a match, and average 10,000 people attend each match, almost 9 million total. Top goal scorer was Ali Mabkout from, that's what tests my knowledge, Kuwait, maybe?
No, it's UAE.
UAE.
I think. Okay. Yeah, I think it's
UAE. Yeah, because obviously it gets a bit strange, isn't it? Because, Harry Kane's right there, but you have players who play maybe more games than they're qualifying. So we have Sile Larin, the Canadian, second of 13 goals. Wu Lei, Harry Kane and Memphis Depay on 12 goals. Always got a chance for Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Minamino was there on 10 goals. We had Lewandowski on 9 with Jonathan David. Neymar on 8 with Zahavi, Luis Suarez and Mitrovic. Okay.
So, we can get to the 2010 World Cup, Josh. Because in a list of all the teams that have qualified for the World Cup, it does say their past previous best performance. So we have the likes of Ghana, quarterfinals, 2010, and 2010 is a clickable link. Netherlands, runners-up.
That's a nice big
Spain,
list.
Winners. So yeah, we've definitely got a route into the 2010 World Cup. So I think we can confirm we're going to... I imagine the ball will be mentioned, so I think we can confirm we're going to finish this. But yeah, I quite like this page. It lists all the qualification.
Yeah, so we can see here that Qatar, the only team to never play in a World Cup before.
Yeah.
Wales is their first tournament since 1958. Canada since 1986. And then, I think, the next in the list is... That's just blown my mind a little bit. But I suppose it's only missing one qualification, isn't it? 2014. So we've got Netherlands, Ecuador, Ghana, Cameroon, USA, 2014. Everybody else obviously 2018. So the bulk of it only, so from the 2018 World Cup, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams are different.
Yeah.
Consecutive appearances. So Brazil have been appeared in every single World Cup. Germany, 18 of them. Argentina, Spain, England only 7 in consecutive years. Sorry, this is.
Yeah, I'm sort of sorry. I was silent there. I'm just sort of getting lost in the data.
So in terms of qualification, there's withdrew or suspended. North Korea withdrew from the AFC second qualifying round for safety concerns relating to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Probably wouldn't have got through anyway.
They have appeared in one, haven't they?
Oh yeah, they're true actually, they were, yeah. In Conmebol Bowl qualification, Brazil and Argentina only played 17 games. Why did they not play each other for a second game? Because everyone else played 18.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Was it because the positions were already sorted and they couldn't have... Argentina couldn't get first? They were like, meh, sod it. Probably COVID or something.
Rogue. Yeah,
probably COVID or something. So
we're going to go to, say, into that section there with the previous performance. We're going to click on a 2010.
Yeah, I feel like we should click through on the winners, 2010, Spain.
That's exactly where I was. Right. Let's refresh some knowledge then, because we were somewhat lacking. Hosts, South Africa. Year, 2010. Teams, 32. Spain winners, runners-up Netherlands. Yes, we got there. Germany, third place. Uruguay, fourth place. Top scorers. We've got four top scorers, actually. Forlan was one of them. Thomas Müller, Wesley Sneijder and David Villa. So that's all of the teams who finished in the fourth, played the most games, didn't they?
Yeah.
Best player, Diego Forlan. Best young player, which seems odd to say now, Thomas Müller. Best goalkeeper, Iker Casillas. And fair play award, Spain. Okay.
I love looking, when you've got a long page like this, a big page, I love looking at the contents and just looking at quick flick at titles, and you've got one there, Vuvuzelas is a little clickable link.
Oh, that was grating, wasn't it?
Yeah. Match ball is there, mascot. There is section one, host selection, 1.1, bribery and corruption. Yes, cause it was a very odd one, this. I'm currently watching the FIFA documentary on Netflix, FIFA Scandal, whatever it's called. And Sepp Blatter, when he was voted in, did say, I'm going to take a World Cup to Africa. So they restricted the bidding process to African nations only, which was the first time it's ever been restricted. Yeah. And it's all around, Chuck Blazer. Remember that name, Chuck Blazer?
I do.
He was naughty, let's call it.
This was North Korea's World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
3 games, 3 losses, scored 1, conceded 12.
Oh. I hope Kim Jong-un doesn't listen to this, because he'll be getting a bullet of truth there, I think. I think he was told they drew with Brazil 1-1, I think.
Yeah, obviously, like the cut of the highlights just shows North Korea's one goal.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The All-Star and the Dream Team's All-Star one is by FIFA, and the Dream Team was a public vote. So we have Manuel Neuer or Iker Casillas. We have Philipp Lahm in both, Sergio Ramos and Carlos Puyol in both, but Cap de Villa and Maicon are the difference. The midfield is similarity is Wesley Sneijder, but we have Van Bommel, Thomas Müller, and Busquets, or Xavi, Iniesta, and Schweinsteiger. And then up front, David Villa and both, but a Uruguayan apiece in Luis Suarez or Diego Forlan.
Another quiz question for you, Josh.
Go.
Who scored England's goal in the 4-1 loss to Germany? Oh, I'd forgotten. It's just I've come across that game now, that fixture.
Oh, is it Matthew Upson?
It was Matthew Upson, yeah. It was Matthew Upson. So, this was also the controversial Luis Suarez-Ghana handball, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
And then Ashley Marjan missed the penalty. That's just come flooding back to me, yeah. So, oh. You love Luis Suarez.
I'm intrigued by Uruguay's front line of Darwin Núñez and Luis Suarez. That seems like it's just chaos.
And Cavani to come off the bench.
Yeah, it's a bit more... calm. And then Bentancur, who's been fantastic. Tottenham, and also got Real Madrid central midfielder Valverde.
Yeah.
I think Uruguay could do some damage here.
No, I don't think so.
And that's the end of that. We're in a group. If memory serves me correctly, we're in a group with Portugal, South Korea, and Ghana.
Who, Uruguay?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay, that's good knowledge. I didn't know that off the top of my head. So. Okay, oh, interesting. Discipline, that's what I've just come across there in terms of a line. 28 players were suspended after being shown two consecutive yellow cards. In brackets, 13 players. Don't quite understand. Oh, sorry. 28 players were suspended after being shown two consecutive yellow cards. 13 players. No, that doesn't make sense either. 28 players were suspended. Full stop. 13 players after being shown two consecutive yellow cards, 8 players for a single red card, and 7 players for a yellow card followed by a red card, is what that should read. Give me an action. I'll go in and change that. That's a terrible sentence.
I feel like suspending players for yellows, cumulative yellows, it needs to be more than 2, I think.
Yeah, I just don't think it should happen. It should be like the Champions League. After the group stage, you reset.
Yeah.
So, but... yeah, so statistically, North Korea were the worst team in the World Cup. France were the fourth worst team statistically in that World Cup, which is pretty embarrassing. England were 13th statistically as the best. Obviously, Spain were the best; they won it. Netherlands second, Germany third, Uruguay fourth. Yeah, and Argentina, Brazil, Ghana, Paraguay, Japan, Chile, Portugal, United States, England, Mexico, South Korea, Slovakia. Vuvuzelas. The 2010 finals amplified international public awareness of the Vuvuzela, a longhorn blown by fans throughout matches. I wouldn't say it amplified international awareness.
That makes it sound like it's a disease, but we need some awareness to raise money for charity for
it. Yeah. Many World Cup competitors complained about the noise caused by the Vuvuzela horns, including France's Patrice Vieira, who blamed the horns for the team's poor performance. Other critics include Lionel Messi, who complained that the sound of the Vuvuzela hampered communication among players on the pitch, and broadcasting companies, which complained the commentators' voices were drowned out by the sound of the Vuvuzelas.
Didn't like the noise of the fan, didn't like the wobble of a ball. Oh, well, get a grip, people.
Yeah.
Well, I did hate the Vuvuzelas.
The BBC investigated the possibility of offering broadcasts without Vuvuzela noise.
Just kind of ambient kind of lift music.
Yeah, yeah. No.
Right, we can click through. There's a section on Matchball, main article, Adidas and Jabulani. Somehow, we managed to do it.
Yeah, a bit of a slap on the wrist though, isn't there?
Yeah, so... first of our 4 World Cup themed episodes. This was free choice, basically. Oh, we didn't do it. We did do it. Yep, sorry, I was just thinking about the rules, but then we did get there. We got through it in the end. I was thinking there wasn't anything early on, but we had to hit a World Cup.
Yeah, we literally went to the World Cup 2010.
Yeah. I was a bit tetchy. We've broken a rule and had to walk back on it. I was going to be tetchy, but we broke another rule.
Okay.
So, Miroslav Klose, one end, the Adidas Jabulani ball, the other. Miroslav Klose being the record goal scorer in World Cup history. He had played for, as a youth player, or his current manager, sorry, as a Reindorf Altak. And one of their current players is Nosa Iabosa Edokpolo. We thought, oh, that's interesting. He had a loan season at Palermo. We clicked there and quickly reverted back because we realised it all felt too familiar. Like, hold on, deja vu set in. We've been here before. So we rolled it back, and instead, because we've been there, we're not allowed to go there again. We went to Wolfsberger, who another Austrian side, and one of their current players is Konstantin Kirschbaumer, which intrigued us. He had played for Austria under-19s, so we'd gone there, try and get to international football, into Yusuf Demir, who had a loan spell at Barcelona, played for the Austrian national team in a 2022 FIFA World Cup qualifier. We were there. Qualifiers. Great page. It's a really good page, actually. Lots of data, lots of information. And there was, of the teams who qualified, where they had previous best performance in the tournament. Spain, winners in 2010. Click there. That page, therefore, has the Adidas Jabulani Borders section. Click through. Miroslav Klose, Adidas Jabulani, with 8 clicks in between.
Excellent. We've done it, sort of. It's a mess, but we'll get there. Yeah, the editing will make it sound flawless, I'm sure. A quick fact about Miroslav Klose. All of those goals, 16 goals in World Cups, in World Cup finals, no penalties. R9 got 15 with one penalty, and Gerd Müller, who's third, got 14 with one penalty. The current playing player, I'm going to stick with it, is Thomas Müller, who's on 10. So he needs to score 7 in this World Cup, because it's probably going to be his last World Cup if he's even going. I assume he is.
Yes, he is.
So, yeah, and then current players still going. You've got Cristiano Ronaldo all the way down on 7. Luis Suarez on 7. Harry Kane on 6. Lionel Messi on 6. And the list doesn't go any further than that, because you're into the 40s of people. So, yeah.
Harry Kane was to grab another 6.
Yeah, puts him on 12.
And then he just needs
5 more.
Go again. At his last tournament, when he'll be 34.
Yeah.
Or could do a 38-year-old one.
No, I don't even think Harry Kane will be our starting striker when he's 34. I think we would have had a youngster come through.
Throw a name out there, just like those, you know, the Sun do a, this will be our team in 8 years' time. Who's 4 years' time? So a player who's currently kind of got to be 18, really. Not going to take a 21-year-old.
You could be 22 and you'll be 30. And
I mean, at minimum 18.
Oh, Tammy Abraham, how old is he? But at that point, he'll probably be more mobile than Harry Kane. So,
that's. I think that you're being harsh on Harry Kane there. I think I'd expect him still to be our starting striker, unless he's retired from international football.
Yeah,
I'd expect him to be there or thereabouts.
Okay, Charlie McNeil is someone I'll throw into the mix. Who's,
oh my good, what, who the hell is that?
He's a Man United 18-year-old scoring for fun in our reserves.
Dane Scarlett,
There you go. Dane Scarlett's probably a good half decent shout, yeah. Ripping it up for Portsmouth ish.
Or Liam Delap.
Liam Delap. See, there's loads of them, Josh. Loads of them.
Yeah, but are they Kane good?
Yeah. Don't know. Anyway, does bring an end to this week's podcast, albeit slightly all over the place. Thank you so much for listening. Feel free to send in your suggestions for Wikipedia pages, starts and finishes. You can find us on Twitter @WikiWanderers and on Instagram @WikipediaWanderers. But for now, goodbye.